This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You hear him on game day.
You play and press. The cheetah will run you all the way around the earth.
And you'll hear him coming up tonight at 6 on the Chiefs Kingdom Show.
15, 10, 5, get your boarding pass. The jet is taking you to the end zone.
Now he joins the drive. Here's the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
We'll be joined by Mitch Holthus coming up momentarily, but I wanted to pass this news. I just saw this. Rob just alerted me to it. This is from Dick Vitale. Thanks so much for all your prayers and supports as I begin fighting with all my heart to win this battle. Please know that I appreciate so much that you care. Dick Vitale, who announced in August that he had melanoma, today revealed that he has lymphoma. So for the second time in a few months, he has been diagnosed. I don't know if there's more people who are more synonymous with a sport than Dick Vitale is to college basketball. I also don't know if there's many Americans who have raised as much money for cancer research and awareness the way that Dick Vitale has. I am a huge fan of Dick Vitale. Really nice guy. The couple of times I've got a chance to talk to him. So prayers and thoughts to him and his family as he begins this fight. Very happy to be joined in studio right now by Mitch Holthus to talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs football. Mitch, always good to have you on the show after a win. Last week, you know, it was a very uncomfortable conversation we had to have about him. But now this team's back at 500 with a pretty comfortable and convincing win in Washington.
Remember, I told you don't run back into the burning house, right?
Don't do that.
Don't go back in the burning house. You've been rescued. Don't go back in there. Coach Reed's playing fireman. He'll bring you out again. Yeah, that second half. But just so many little things can happen in football. The 3rd and 2 stop. Because Washington's going down, and you're thinking, if this turns into 20-10, like, this is already serious. What's going to go on? They try to run that wide receiver screen to Humphreys. Thornhill's there. Low throw, incomplete. Okay, 42-yard missed field goal. And then that's my first favorite play, but not my favorite play. The second favorite play is my first favorite play. That didn't make sense. D-Will, when Darrell Williams catches the pass that should have been a 1-yard check down, and turns it into a 13-yard gain because he jukes a guy, runs over 2 other guys. My vantage point from Washington, which is the worst place to do a game in the league, it's brutal. But I could see the sideline, and the whole sideline just raised up. You could see it. Tonight we have Mecole Hardman on the Kingdom, and I just taped it with him. He talks about that moment and what the huddle was like after that moment. All it takes sometimes is one dude to make a play, and a guy in his 40th game making his first start, Darrell Williams, was the first Warrior dog in that game.
I led the show with this. The difference between the first half and the second half was turnovers. Turnovers in the first half, you turn the ball over 2 times when you're driving and about to score, and then in the second half, you cleaned up the turnover issue, and then you look like the Super Bowl contending team. If you're Andy Reid, this is the only tape you need to watch. Look at what happens when you turn the football over. You can lose to just about anybody. Washington is a 6-win team, maybe 7 at the absolute most. That's not a Super Bowl contending team. This is what gets you beat. This is what got you beat against Buffalo. This is what got you beat against Baltimore. This is the difference. When
Chargers,
you protect the football, you can beat anybody in the league. That has to be the message that has to be drilled into this team's head, that was the real difference between the first half to the second half.
And there's a thread. I'm actually going back through all of the giveaways this season, looking at them all on video. I'm not done with it all yet, but sometimes, most of the time, they've happened later into drives, and almost all of them are in plus territory. Look at it yesterday. McColl's fumble in the end of rounds at the 44. The interception at the end of the half's at the 20. That's going to be a field goal to tie it at 13-13, and you get the ball to start the third quarter. And then the pass through the hands of Tyreek's at the 9. Go back and look at the Charger game. It's at the 5. It's at the 15. Like, those are all going to be scores probably for the most part. Play 3 7s and 2 3s. And you still got an offense. This is just accentuating your point. You got an offense that's going to set an intergalactic record for first downs and offense of what they're doing at this point. So I'm with you. It's not just that, but get some giveaways. I mean, get some takeaways. Get some takeaways. So I did go back and look. In the 8 years of Andy Reid prior to this year, 4 years out of the 8, they were either first or second in giveaway takeaway margin, either the best in the league or the second, half those years. 3 of the other 4, they were in the top 7, 6, 5, 7, something like that. So top 7.
The last this
7
year.
Of the 8 years. Yeah, this year's an aberration. It's off the screen, but to your point, I mean, that's everything right now with this team. But it's not just the giveaways. Get some takeaways.
Let's talk about the quarterback and the giveaways before we kind of move on to talk about the other parts of the team. Some of the interceptions are not Mahomes' fault. I don't know how you can throw it any better to Tyreek Hill than the one that just pops up in the air. It's an interception. The second interception, arguably one of the worst passes that we've seen him throw so far in his career. And you hear in the press conference, he's like, hey, I got to understand, check down and take. You made 3 of those kind of throws so far this season. You made that throw against the Chargers where I don't know who you were throwing it to, and then the Chargers get the ball at midfield with a chance to go and win the game. You made that throw against Baltimore that was one of the worst throws that you made this season. What do you think it is happening with Mahomes in those plays? Because outside of those plays, he's playing the same great level of football that we've seen so far this season, but we've just seen, whether it's impatience, whether it's frustration, whatever it is, we've just seen him make more uncharacteristic bad throws.
And he was on in that second half of that game yesterday. We had the no looks. We had the moving left and throw back right. I mean, he made plays no other human in this league can make, and it's stuff that we've seen for 18, 19, and 20, right? But I do think you always hear the trying too hard. He's maybe trying to make a play that's not there. Let's go back to what I said 3 paragraphs ago. The irony in this game was the offensive play that turned it around was a 1-yard check down throw that ended up being a 13-yard gain. It kind of opened the floodgates at that point. We saw Patrick Mahomes against the Eagles was Max Scherzer when he was on. Like, throwing strikes on the black part of the strike zone. He was so good with only 6 incompletions and 5 touchdowns in the Philadelphia game. So he's just a tick off, but I do think it's been a combination of things. To answer your question, there was a deflected pass with Marcus Kemp in the Charger game. Maybe that's on him trying to throw a no-look pass. Just throw it. And then there's a couple times he's just forcing into coverage trying to make a play. And that's what has happened, I think, at the end of the second quarter yesterday. It's just finding that ground of, like, be great, Patrick, which we know he can do and saw it in the third and fourth quarter. But then don't be afraid to throw a check down. Or in the case of, hey, let's get a field goal, tie it up at 13 because we're going to get the ball to start the second half and we'll take momentum into halftime. It's this whole – just revisit the score time situation. But he's going to be better than fine. And you're right. In many ways, in a lot of ways – he's having his best season. When you look at his touchdown performance and his accuracy, he has been deadly accurate.
Are you confident that they're going to fix the turnover issue? Because I tweeted this during the game. At some point, it goes to, hey, we need to fix this, to an understanding of this is what we are this season. We've seen 6 games. Mahomes has thrown 15 interceptions in his last 15 games. This team has had 14 turnovers in their first 18 quarters that we've seen them play so far this season. And I'm with you. This year is an anomaly compared to what we've seen. But last week, you and I talked about that Tampa blueprint. Teams seem to be playing this team defensively basically the same way each and every game, and they're just forcing 1 or 2 mistakes and kind of chipping away at the Chiefs' offense. Do you think that the turnover issue, maybe at the high end, is something that they can correct, or do you think this is something they're going to battle for the most of the season?
Something I talked about with Eric Bieniemy last week, we had it on the pregame show. There's a couple things here. One, yes, you're accurate, and people are using the Tampa Bay blueprint, and that means you're going to have a higher volume of plays in a drive. All right, we all agreed that. We see it. We see it, numerically. We also saw what happened yesterday. They had a 95 and a 96-yard touchdown drive.
Twice.
You can go a whole season and teams won't have a 95. They had 2 in a single game.
I saw that Mahomes has had 9 of those in his career so far, which is insane.
Nine. It's insane. If you go back to 2020 And not only that, go back to 2020 and look at it. There's a 85, 86, 88. It's not just the 90s, it's the 80s. And Coach Reed has had 14. Nine of those are Patrick's. But there's five more that Coach has had that's 90-plus while he's been here. 95-ish. Or 95. All right. But here's a big part of this is, one, maintaining focus on the 10th, 11th, and 12th play of the drive as you had focus at 1, 2, and 3. Because you're starting to wear down, you get tired, you're running the fourth lap of the mile. So no false starts, no holds, and be locked in. The other thing I've noticed going back and reviewing these turnovers have been that teams are not only playing the Tampa Bay style of coverage, they're getting physical after plus plays. After a plus, 10-plus, 12-plus play, they're trying to slobber knock Tyreek Hill into next week. That was the first Charger turnover in that game at the 5. They come in and just, we're going to get physical with them. We'll play to the so-called echo of the whistle. We're going to destroy the guy even after he has a 12-yard gain. We'll
I really see. Think that's happening right now with Kelsey. Like you can
it's
tell,
happening with Kelsey.
You could tell it's
and
part
Hill,
of
the, those it, two guys mainly, but all of them, really, because they're getting turnovers after plus gains in plus territory. So it's not like they're not moving the ball, but teams are going to go, all right, we're going to slobber knock you and then see how you are next time. All right? I brought that up with EB. Now, you know, you want to get EB fired up. Get Eric Bieniemy talking about it. Because it's also on your teammates. If some dude comes in and tries to, like, play you after the whistle or the echo, I'm coming after you the next play. You ain't taking out Tyreek Hill, I'll take you out. I mean, it's you want to play, don't get penalties. But you've got to, it's a focus and a mindset. You always hear mindset. But mindset is like, okay, guys, these are going to be 15-play drives. Plays 10 through 15, we got to be on it. And that means being on it physically and mentally.
Right now we're talking to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. The Chiefs Kingdom shows tonight. Let's talk about the defense. It doesn't take much to spark things. You mentioned the one play that they needed in the game was to spark it defensively. You get Chris Jones back in theory this week. You could get Charvarius Ward back this week. You made the switch with Daniel Sorensen. Ben Neiman's off the field now. You're playing Willie Gay Jr. and Nick Bolton a little bit more. This defense doesn't need to be ninth in the NFL. You need to get to like 17th in the NFL. And with this offense, you're just as good as Buffalo, just as good as Los Angeles, just as good as Baltimore. Do you look at this game as being the spark that this defense needed to maybe get some positive momentum to now go slow down Derrick Henry to get you ready for the game against the Green Bay Packers coming up here in a couple weeks? Because that's the next really big test. You go up against a Hall of Fame quarterback, arguably the best wide receiver in the league. That's going to be the real test of, hey, how improved is this defense going to be? And we're hoping that once we get there, you're going to be a lot healthier and viable defensively.
Derrick Henry's an issue coming up, but it's just a different issue, right? It's a whole different thing. But I think that's going to be we'll see him tonight. But subtle things happened to that defense yesterday. The biggest thing about that win yesterday, the biggest thing, because football is such an emotional, mental, along with physical game, but it's also a game of momentum. And momentum can carry from one week to the next. You can have doubt, because we saw the Chiefs have a little somewhat trepidation after these first five. Everybody got on that plane last night, CDOT, feeling like they were part of that win. The biggest part of that afternoon and that second half was it wasn't 50-49 and the offense pulled it out with a play with 14 seconds to go thinking, you know, come on, defense. And the defense didn't win it 3-0 on a field goal at the buzzer, like, hey, we had to do our part. Mecole Hardman also had, what, a 30-yard punt return. And another punt. He had two almost that went to the house yesterday. Almost two. Special teams became explosive, at least in the punt return game. Everybody got on that plane going, we had a piece of this. And I think that becomes the big springboard going into Tennessee week, in that that's the first time they've got on a plane and felt that way in a while. Okay? Particularly after a road game, getting on, coming home. Because you have time that marinates better than a home game when you all scatter out. Okay, it marinates on that plane coming home, that you all did it. Now, defensively, there were some subtle things. You mentioned Thornhill on the field and the nickel and the base. He was there in nickel and base. Spags also played more nickel yesterday. It put Snead in a position where he is his absolute best in that slot corner, both as a blitzer and as in coverage. We overlooked the play of Rashad Fenton very easily.
I thought Fenton was great yesterday.
Fenton is the most underrated defensive player on this team. He made the play to start the Super Bowl 54 turnaround. He's the one that ran Garoppolo out of bounds. There had to be four stops. It was Fenton that ran him out of bounds. It's Fenton that had the pick against New England. It was Fenton that made the play in the playoffs. I mean, Fenton, when Fenton's on the field, good things happen. So if you get Seward back now, and Chavarius can go over and play his spot. It allows you to play nickel sometimes as a base defense. The other thing they did yesterday that I was encouraged about was Spags played less of that 6 DB defense, because before, because it hurt him against the run. Not that it shouldn't or couldn't. That's what I'm saying. I think I told you this last week. You got to be better against the run when you're in a pass defense and better against the pass when you're in a run defense. But yesterday they played nickel more. That meant that Bolton and Willie Gay Jr. are your safeties many times in the nickel. And then you got Snead sitting there where he is one of the league's best, if not the best, in coverage in that slot and blitzing. He's a phenomenal blitzer. But that also puts Fenton out on the edge. And then you got Ward. And then you got Thornhill at safety with the Honey Badger. That ends up, it's tempting to think that you play more nickel plays as your base, even in rundowns, than you do in your base space when you have a 4-3 front.
Last question here, Mitch, and we'll get you out of here. We're going to talk about this coming up in a little bit whenever you leave. I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the best running back on this team. I don't think that's that much of a debate. Talent, ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. I think what will always happen with Clyde is he will always be evaluated based on the position and not based on his production. And I don't really sense a large gap of production between him and Darrell Williams. I don't think Darrell was great yesterday by any means. Rushed for 60 yards, but short yardage back, the ability to turn a 3rd-and-2 into a 1st-and-10 to help you in the red zone and pound it in. I actually came away pretty impressed with Darrell Williams. That I always felt like taking a pure luxury pick in the first round was kind of like, all right, we're at this point now where we feel pretty comfortable. I've been a little bit frustrated with Clyde Edwards-Helaire that I don't feel like he is a game-changing back. You've been the voice for a while. You've seen game-changing backs here in Kansas City. I don't feel like that's what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is. I kind of feel like he needs to turn into that to really validate them spending a first-round pick on him.
Man, it's how we define the position. I think it's a discussion that we can have a whole show on it of how running backs evolved and changed. We're seeing basically a throwback this week in Derrick Henry. I mean, he's getting it 30 times. It's like the old days of LJ here, right? It's like just give it to him and let him pound away. We don't see that much anymore. Cleveland kind of does it with their guys, but now they're beat up. Both those guys are hurt. And so we'll see how Cleveland adjusts. I think Clyde has got a great upside in this franchise and in the National Football League. Is that as a 23 carry pounded away type guy? Probably not. But I see him as such a weapon that – just hasn't popped yet. We've seen glimpses. The 161 at Buffalo was outstanding earlier this year. He'll make guys miss. He's not going to run over guys. He might run over some. But then you need this. This league has turned into a tag team wrestling match because he taps out and here comes D. Will. I'm telling you, C-Dot, if this season starts to go, if this team gets hot, I'm going to reference back to a 1 yard check down that became a 13-yard play by Darrell Williams. Because I'm telling you, it lit the fuse to start a Roman candle yesterday. A little simple, goofy play. Looks like it, right? Nothing real tricky about that. And that's where Patrick had to go under pressure. I'll just dump it. D-Will, go okay. And he makes a play out of it. Darrell Williams has a spot on this team. We saw what Damian Williams did when you can bring in a 200. Because here's the thing about Darrell Williams that helps Clyde. Darrell Williams is 225 pounds. Of one of your three backs, if they're going to be three up, you need a Darrell Williams type, a 225-pound guy that can grind and catch and run screens and finish the game and four-minute offense and all of that. But Clyde's going to be a tag team partner with that. And the third guy, because coach has always had a third down back, they're all going to have a spot. So it just depends how you want to define it. Like, I think Clyde's got a great future and has got some big-time games coming up, but he'll need a tag team partner. But that's the way the league is going now.
That's the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. You got the Chiefs Kingdom show tonight. Tell people what you got coming up.
Coach Reed tonight, we kind of extend this conversation. What's cool about our conversations that go 15 minutes is Coach takes it even further at 6 o'clock. And I love it. I tell you on this on Monday nights, it's like he's sitting down with us just having some ribs or something. Like he just gets relaxed and talks ball. And I love it when he does it because, I mean, he's just wicked smart. We were going to have Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill had to warrior up yesterday. Okay, he was out of the game. Coach even talks about it tonight. He didn't know if he was even going to have him. Here he comes and warriors up, and because of that, he's getting special treatment. And so he had to cancel out tonight, getting treatment on the quad. So Mecole Hardman, the Jets, going to be on. But Mecole gets into what it was like that turned the game around, what the huddle was like when the play happened that I talked about and how it became a firestorm. Now you just got to hope the storm keeps rolling.
That is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtz is joining us in studio today. Mitch, it's always an honor to have you join us.
It's always better than a win, but we suit up for all of them. Just don't run back into the burning house.
You can't run back into the burning house. That's the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtz is joining us on the show today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.